The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
It's time for the green scene, and this week we're going to have a look at how to have a more sustainable Christmas, and forests also could hold the key to our happiness. Speaking of trees, Dr. Ruth Freeman is Director of Science for Society at Science Foundation Ireland. Ruth, good morning and
good
welcome.
Good morning, Pat.
Now, to go artificial or natural when it comes to your Christmas tree, let's try to be green about it. What should we do?
Well, if we're trying to be green, we should go down the route of a real tree, and hopefully one that's been grown specifically for that purpose, and hopefully that's been grown quite close to us. So really, if you can even go and pick your own tree, that's a great option.
Okay. Now, the cost. If you can buy an artificial tree for a couple of €100, say, and your annual Christmas tree is going to cost you €70, how long before the equation swings in favour of the natural?
Well, here, I think you are going to be paying more for the real tree. So there is research which shows that you need to reuse an artificial tree 20 times before it's sort of having less impact on the environment. I think an artificial tree is going to look pretty bedraggled after 20 years. Yeah. I'm not sure you'll actually get that amount of time out of it. But definitely, look, a slightly smaller real tree. There's also the option to have a tree in a pot. I mean, you can actually have a living tree. If you have a little bit of outdoor space, you can migrate them in and out of the house.
Now, they are carbon sequestering things, are trees, but then when you dispose of it, I mean, does the carbon not kind of get into the atmosphere somehow at that point?
Yeah, well, it can. And if you put it into landfill, that's exactly what will happen. It'll rot, produce methane, and the carbon will go back into the atmosphere. However, a lot of local authorities here will chip up the trees and use them for mulch. And actually, with mulch, that slow carbon decomposition creates something called soil humus, and the carbon gets trapped back in the soil. So actually, that's a really green option.
One of the biggest sources of waste, if we're looking for a sustainable Christmas, is food. The amount of stuff that people buy and then throw out. What
Absolutely.
To do?
And you're right. You've actually hit the nail on the head. Preventing food waste is the critical thing here. So, you know, really trying to be realistic about what people are actually going to be eating. I think we can all lose the run of ourselves a bit doing the shopping coming up to Christmas. We think we'll never be able to shop again and people might just drop in. So that's one side of it. The other side of it is, I know for a lot of people, it's all about the meat at Christmas. If we can even reduce a little bit the amount of meat and dairy that's in our Christmas dinner. And actually, in our house, we have vegetarian options. And you know what? The meat eaters all eat them. So they find they are all eating a little bit less meat.
Yeah, it takes time though for the impact of that demand falling for it to impact on how many cattle are going to be out in the fields.
Of course it will. It's going to take years. And I mean, with all things with climate, when they're embedded into culture, Pat, you know, these changes don't happen quickly. But there's lots of little tweaks we can think about at Christmas, you know.
Now, you are suggesting that we don't wrap our gifts in Christmas paper. What then?
Well, in recent years, it's become very fashionable to use cloth that's reusable. And the other thing, you know, you see now in some very, very fancy shops, they just use newspaper and jute string and a little bit of holly. And, you know, coming to kind of decorations as well, that's really what was the tradition here in Ireland, to go out and get greenery and bring it into your house, to have that feeling of greenery inside the house for Christmas. So, you know, I think we can come back to some of that.
Okay, now, you'd obviously, if you wrap it in a newspaper, just make sure that the article that's on the front of the newspaper is not going to offend the person.
Yes. You know,
you have to
or not
check for
depressing.
Content. Now, in terms of presents, and I mean, there's where wrapping really comes in. I mean, if you buy, you know, something terribly small, often it is surrounded in a tissue paper, and then it's in a box, and then the box is in another box, and then the box is in a bag, and you know, in the cases of perfumes and fragrances, that there'll be even more than that.
I know. Yeah, I mean, Christmas, it's very hard to get away from packaging and plastic. It's everywhere. And even with the best of intentions, it's hard to. But just some ideas for people if they're thinking, you know, antiques, little bits of secondhand jewellery, plants, anything like homemade jams or biscuits, you know, secondhand books that you've picked for people because you've read them and you said, this is a great book, you're really going to enjoy it. And of course, experiences, things like tickets for things, you know, all of those, or charity gifts, of course, you know, all of those really do have the feel good factor and, you know, much less of an impact on the planet.
Now, the idea of tinsel and other such, and they're all made of plastic, really, aren't they? We fill our houses full of this stuff and invariably it just gets disposed of.
Yeah, well, I have to say, we've had tinsel in our house for a long, long time. It is getting a bit bedraggled, but we've tried not to buy any new sparkly things for a long time. I mean, Actually, LED lights are pretty good if you want a bit of sparkle. They last for ages if you look after them, and they use very little energy. You know, you could have your Christmas, you could have 1,000 LED lights on for 5 hours every day in December, and you'd still use less energy than you would cooking your Christmas turkey. So, you know, you can still have some sparkle.
You can still have lots of
energy efficient
festive light and so on, but not costing you the earth. The Christmas jumper. Now, I'm not a great fan of Christmas jumpers. Even when I was doing the toy show, I used to wear a very plain thing with the toy show embroidered on it. I felt that, you know, I didn't want to be competing with all the glitter myself. You say recycle the Christmas jumper.
Absolutely. Like, I've found great Christmas jumpers in secondhand shops for the kids. I mean, the best thing you can do is if you can, if you do like Christmas jumpers, maybe get a knitted one. Just invest in a nice one. Or if you know someone who can knit it for you, even better, and just bring it out each year. But yeah, the synthetic ones are generally pretty poor quality, generally come from far away, and they release a lot of microfibers when they're washed because they're poor quality.
Now, we started talking about trees and Christmas trees. We're going to talk about forests as well, and also something that might lurk in the forest were it to be reintroduced into Ireland. Explain.
Well, maybe just starting with the forest, there's new research out now, which is probably telling us something I think we all inherently know, that a day out in a forest kind of makes us feel good. And there has been research, particularly from Japan, because this has been a very popular cultural thing in Japan for years. They call it Shinrin-yoku, or forest bathing. And it's nothing to do with water. It's just about getting out into the trees and spending time there. And research has shown that people spending time in trees have reduced blood pressure, lower cortisol levels, that's the hormone related to stress, and they actually do better on concentration and memory tasks after spending time in the forest. So this is something that's been actually part of public health in Japan. But a new study now is actually looking at something even more interesting, and this is that there are chemicals released by the trees into the air. These are called phytoncides, and they're little airborne chemicals that the plants give off to protect themselves from disease. But it seems that when we breathe these in, they're activating a particular immune cell called our natural killer cells. And kind of coming back to what we've been talking about with viruses, natural killer cells help our bodies to fight tumours and viruses. And this study in Japan showed that people spent doing a 3-day trip into the forest, they had this increased activity in their natural killer cells for up to 30 days afterwards. Yeah. So this is very early.
So it's not just psychological, it's scientific. There are things emitted from trees that do us good, help our immune system. Yeah. Now, finally, the creature that might stalk our forests and help us, in what way and which creature?
Well, this is new research from Queen's University and Cornell in the States saying maybe we should think about reintroducing some wild predators to control the invasive species we've talked about a lot.
Sure.
So things
and
like
we're not talking about wolves, are we, this time?
No, we're talking about the lynx.
The lynx.
And lynxes were native in Ireland. There is archaeological evidence of them. They're these beautiful big cats. Now, of course, this has kicked off the debate around where will they go? Will they impact on farm animals? Will they kill sheep? And I think, you know, this is part of a debate we have to have. We have this amount of land and we have to think about what we're going to do. We have a biodiversity crisis and those top predators are critical to keeping ecosystems balanced.
It's fascinating. You know, if you can take down a deer as a lynx, can you take down a cow? Certainly you'd imagine you could take down a sheep.
I would think a sheep, yes. And again, this is where the land use piece comes in. I mean, at the moment, we don't have vast spaces of natural protected areas like in the big reintroduction projects in Yellowstone and in the Basque region. But maybe we need to think about that. How much space are we prepared to give nature, knowing how good nature is for us? And, you know, those are the conversations I think we have to have.
All right. Eamon Ryan, over to you. The lynx. Return the lynx to this island. Ruth, thank you very much for joining us. Dr. Ruth Freeman, Director of Science for Society at Science Foundation Ireland.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance.
Weekdays at 9 a.m. on News Talk.